This is a message that was recorded at Word of Life, a London City church in Lewisham, London. May God bless you as you listen.
Today is our final day on work ethics. If we remember from the very first day, I think one key scripture that has been running through these past few weeks is Colossians 3:17. We say that whatever we do in word or deed, we should do unto the as unto the Lord, isn't it? And when you say to do it in the name of the Lord, rather. And when you say for us to do in the name of the Lord, that is in his authority and in his character. So whatever we do should bear the character of Christ. I think that has been the dominant, theme in what we've been saying, so far. And I think last week I added Colossians 3, verse 22 and 23, to read. If we just flip over to that very quickly, Colossians 3, verse 22 and 23. From verse 22. It says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." Verse 23, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." And look at verse 24. It says, "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." I read it again. It says, "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance." That's amazing. But who are the servants serving here? They're serving their masters. Is that correct? Who are you working for? If you're in the civil service, you're doing a civilized job, okay? Is that right? You have a boss somewhere, you're serving your boss. But don't be the driver, though. That's what it is. But it said that your reward, when you do it as unto the Lord, your reward will come from the Lord. And one good example that we can see from the scriptures is Joseph. Yeah, look at the life of Joseph. Joseph served his father, didn't he? What did he get from that? He had a father's love, didn't he? He had a father's blessing, but fine. But his brother did what? Sold him off. Okay? Did he get any better for him? No. He went into Potiphar's house. He served his master Potiphar. But he served as unto God. How do we know he served as unto God? Because when Potiphar's wife tempted him, what did he say? He said, "How can I do such a wicked thing? How can I sin against God?" And he mentioned his father. He had a fear of his father in his own heart. So he was serving in Potiphar's house as unto God. Now who promoted him? Potiphar? No. Potiphar sent him to prison. But his journey to the prison was keeping an interview, to become the prime minister. Is that not so? So the Lord himself, blessed him and promoted him. Of course, the scripture tells us that promotion does not come from the east or from the west. It comes from the Lord alone. So when we serve, and look at the kind of blessings, look at the kind of promotion that God gives, the kind of reward he gives, what will your boss give you? Some money. That's all. That's all. And that money wouldn't probably solve your own, financial, needs. How much? But when God's own reward comes, it comes in form of an inheritance. You get the point? Your inheritance is yours. Nobody can take it away from you. So God's own blessing, when we serve in our places of work, you may be laboring and wonder, what's the career prospect in this? And because of that, you begin to develop bad attitude to your own job. But if you continue serving the Lord, he can actually open up something else for you somewhere. You may be a cleaner in a place and you've been cleaning and cleaning and cleaning. I love the way T.D. Jakes described it. That if you're a cleaner, be a very good cleaner. Do it with style and be singing and, you know, be mopping and, you know, and be mopping the place and be dancing. You know, because you are doing it as unto the Lord. I want to mop up this floor so that when my Lord walks into this place, he will see it all prepared, fit for the king to walk in. You know? And then when the promotion comes, it could be somebody that says something to you in the bus. That leads you into some kind of investment or leads you into something. It could even be a solution to something to do with your health. It could be anything, but it will come in form of an inheritance. And that is fabulous. And if we are going to serve with the character of Christ, you know, being manifested in what we do, then we have to bear in mind Galatians, you know, chapter 5. Remember the fruit of the Spirit. You know, Galatians, you know, chapter 5, verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. In other words, when we are serving and bearing the fruit of the Spirit, that shows that the Christ is present with us in that place and that we're actually serving him. Okay? We have the gift of his Spirit. And I read that 22 again. Say, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now look at this. This is really the nuclear bomb here. Look at the last verse. The last line there in verse 20, in 23. You say, against such there is no law. Hallelujah. Now when we serve as unto the Lord, what this simply means is that there's no law in any land that will require any superior service from us. You get that? So we become pace setters. When we serve with the character of Christ, we have the supreme service. There's no law against, there's no law that is superior to that. There's no requirement on the face of the earth that is superior to that. And we could never violate any law when we do that, except it's an unrighteous decree. I know what the scripture says, woe unto him that decrees an unrighteous decree. You know? Okay, so we'll move on very quickly, you know, from there. You know, I think I said that today I want to quickly touch on, you know, some of the things that really hinders us, that affects our service. You know, last week we talked about readiness, didn't we? You know, being ready to, you know, to serve, equipping ourselves properly. You know, we have the issue of attitude. I don't know if I will have time to really cover that, you know, adequately. You have the issue of attitude to yourself, you know, toward yourself, attitude towards your job, attitude towards your co-workers, you know, and attitude towards your clients. You know, so we have this, you know, four areas, but I will see if we can come back to that. But let's look at, you know, one very important thing that really hinders us. You know, one of the key things that hinders self-fulfillment, two key things that hinder self-fulfillment is fear and low self-esteem. Fear and low self-esteem. They are killers. So I want to look at, quickly look at the issue. I think we've already dealt with the issue of fear and low self-esteem when we did things on parenting. So I don't really want to knock on that so much. But let's look at, you know, issues to do with our self-image. Okay, our self-image. There are 15 manifestations of a poor self-image. You know, one is that somebody who has a very, very poor self-image is critical and jealous, has a critical and jealous nature. You know, very critical. They lack genuine friends. They can't maintain friendship. You know, they lack genuine friends. You know, it's difficult for them to come out of themselves, and when people even are reaching out to them, they find it difficult to reciprocate. You know, they're very quick to get involved in gossip. I think it's a smart thing that you want to be, you know, there in the office. No, it's usually a manifestation of very poor self-image. Think of it. You know, when you think of yourself as somebody who is a prince, you know, remember what we read in Daniel, you know, that those children, those young people are to be very smart. They should be very adjustable, very, 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 and they have to be what? Fit to serve in the king's palace. And if you are somebody who is fit to serve in the king's palace, you see yourself that is, you know, seated in heavenly places above principalities and powers, you will not be bringing yourself so low to be gossiping. You know? Okay? Involvement in gossip, senseless and erratic actions. Okay, there you have improper reaction to criticism. you criticize them or even ask some simple questions, it's as if, and they make excuses to justify their failures. And they have improper reaction, to laughter. They make impossible, promises. They are impossible promises. And they are uncomfortable, they have an uncomfortable feeling, when they are alone. And they are rebellious against authority. Who are you, for me to submit to you? Who are you, this and that, And they have I don't care attitude. And failure to be self-assertive. Failure to be self-assertive and breakdown in decency. Very quick to break, to have a software breakdown in decency. They have foolish and impulsive actions and too much emphasis on material things. If they get it, everybody will have to know that they've got it, because it's a way of trying to add some value to their own lives. But how can we really improve our self-image? There are three, key things here. Not in improving self-image, but there are three broad things we need to look at in terms of what I call the ABC of self-esteem: acceptance, belonging, and competence. Acceptance, belonging, and competence. So the seven ways I'm going to talk about now about improving our self-image will help to address those ones. Take an inventory. That's number one. Take an inventory. Write down all the positive things you can think about yourself. All the positive things you can think about, of your own self. If you don't know, perhaps you should ask somebody. That's an exercise we will have been able to do, but we'll leave that for another day. Write all the positive things, and also you can make a list of the negative things. So at least in that way, the focus here is not really for you to criticize yourself so much. No, it's about, gaining an awareness of your own strengths and, weaknesses. And the good qualities, your strengths and the good qualities you have, and even your own weaknesses. Make an inventory of that. And then make changes. Change those things that you don't like about yourself. And the truth is that in most cases, the negative traits, those negative things we don't like about ourselves, are usually habits. And so they can be changed. It's not the angle that your eye is or how long your nose is. They're usually things to do with habits. So they're, very easy to change. Then sell yourself. When I say sell yourself, it's not about, when I say sell yourself, that is focus attention on your qualities, and reinforce, your feeling of self-worth. Sell yourself. Always remind yourself of the areas of your competence. Remind yourself of those ones. We'll come to the issue of, positive self-talk, later on. But pay more attention on your qualities. Every person has something good about them. You may not like it, but even Levi, what's his name again? The guy that just went to prison. Levi, whatever. Though it's not of the sons of the Levites anyway. There must be something good about, about that guy. You know why I say there's something good about everybody? Because God created us in his own image. So focus on those good qualities, about your own self. Number four, forget about past shortcomings. Forget about past shortcomings when you have truly, repented of them. Okay, if there are things to repent of them and forget about them. Forget about them. When God forgives, you'll try to forgive yourself, as well. Amen. Forget about those past shortcomings. The past has as the only strength that the past has over you, the power the past has over you, is the attention you pay to it. You get that? So forget about your past shortcomings and just move on. Number five, avoid overcritical associations. And it's true that some people are never happy until they found something critical to say about people around them. even if their criticism is undeserved, they feel better when they have criticized somebody and pulled somebody else down. Avoid those kind of companies and associations. You know, but you said the scripture says you should love everybody. Yeah, you can love them from a distance. You know, keep away from them. You know, number six, reinforce your improved self-image with positive feedback. You know, improve, reinforce it. Your improved self-image with positive feedback. You know, when you've done something, you know, good, don't be too humble to say, yeah, that was good. I did it. Amen. You know, some of us think it's not being humble. When you say, hallelujah, praise God, I did it. You know? Yeah. Imagine if God, I don't know how God really feels. I mean, thank God I'm not God, you know, honestly. I mean, the Bible says that God rejoices over us, doesn't he? Even with what? Singing. Yeah. Imagine him with big God, big head, big everything, sitting down there saying, hallelujah. And you're there saying, poor me. I didn't do it. No, I couldn't have been the one that did it. No. Rejoice with God over the things that he has achieved in your life. Amen. 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 I mean, have fun, man. Keep polishing your self-image. Keep polishing it. Keep working on becoming better and more effective. You know, in your own life. Keep working at it. Don't rest on your oars. You know, the more pleased you are with your self-improvements, you know, the happier and more successful you will become. So those are the seven key, you know, ways that you can improve your self-image. Then visualize yourself. You know, the scripture said that without vision, people perish. Without vision, people cast off restraints. You know, people who just throw themselves about and do their work anyhow, they are people that lack vision of who they really are. Having a godly vision is beginning to see yourself the way God sees you. Not about who you are, not about who you could become. Vision is always futuristic. It's always about, you know, a preferable future. You get that? So you have a vision. Visualize yourself. You know, visualize, you know, your self-esteem, how you really want to see yourself. Not that mediocre person, not that person who is always cowed, you know, somebody who is not even able to, you know, to answer when their name is called. Because you may be afraid that your name may not sound right. You know, remember the principles of, you know, self-fulfilling, you know, philosophy, or what I call self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, you hold in your own mind, you know, a self-image, you know, of good qualities, you know, that you want to maintain in your own life. Just visualize your self-esteem. You know, and then one thing that you can also do in visualizing your self-esteem is, look at the characteristics of some people that you really admire. You know, study their characteristics and see yourself as having those characteristics. You know, Hebrews 6:12 says that we should be imitators of those who through faith and patience have inherited that which was promised. You know, those people that you really admire, whoever they may be, they have those godly qualities that you really want to, you know, see for your own self. Visualize yourself possessing those characters. You know, Paul, you know, said in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, he said, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. And when you are following us, you know, Hebrews 12, you know, verse 2 says that we should look unto Jesus. Keep our focus on him. He's our benchmark, isn't he? You know, looking unto him, the author and finisher of our own faith. So we'll keep our focus on him and we'll keep gazing upon him. What does the scripture say? That we ourselves will be changed from glory to glory. You know, so begin to admire those qualities and begin to see yourself in that instance. If he has lifted us and made us to sit with him, you know, in heavenly places above principalities and powers, I want to begin to see myself seated with him over there. I'm not seeing myself, you know, down in some pit somewhere. After all, he delivered my feet from the miry clay and set it where? Not on, even on the steps of the Buckingham Palace, but on solid rock to stand. Hallelujah. You know, and verbalize, you know, self-esteem. Verbalize it. You know, well, of course, this is not a substitute, you know, to repentance. When you've done something wrong, you want to talk yourself out of it. No. Repent. You know, and then when you've received that forgiveness, see yourself as somebody who is cleansed. See yourself as somebody who is able to make it. See yourself as somebody who is on a journey with God. You know, verbalize it. You know, speak to yourself. You know, give yourself the gift of positive self-talk. You know, give yourself that very gift. In fact, one of the ones I really love doing, you know, is I look at the list I compiled about, you know, the position of believers in Christ. You know, I just want to think of myself in those terms and speak those things concerning my own life. Anybody who wants that, I made some copies, you know, for folks here. Maybe you can, you know, that can actually be, you know, be passed. You know, so think of those things. You know, say I'm a warm, kind, and loving person. Anybody here who is warm, kind, and loving? You all are in Jesus' name, whether you are not today. Yeah, yeah. After hearing this, you will become it in Jesus' name. You say, I have strength and energy. You know, sometimes you say, how are you today? Well, not too bad. Is that how your day is? Not too bad. How bad? You know, it's really been bad. Now it is good. You keep saying, I'm so weak, I'm too this. No, I have strength and I have energy. I love life and life loves me. You know, there are some people that are always waiting for bad luck to happen to them. You know, I saw an advert for an insurance advert. You know, this man was driving a car. Everything, he hit a car. He stopped somewhere. Something fell. And, you know, everywhere he went, things were just happening. And they were saying that basically the company was inviting you that even if you're one of those people that everything, disaster seemed to fall everywhere you go. And people see themselves in those lines. You know? Somebody complained that, look, everybody had been doing everything. When it got to my turn for my children to go to uni, that was when they introduced their university education fees. They see it as an evidence that nothing ever works for them, that some bad luck follows them. No, I love life and life loves me. You know? You know, set aside every negative thought about yourself and refuse to run yourself down or listen when others are doing it. You know, reject every feeling of inferiority or inadequacy. And reject all thoughts of self-pity. You know, pity comes cheap. Pity is the cheapest thing to happen. You know, for you to be envied, that means you've really achieved something. Yes. Yeah? It's hard work for you to earn, you know, for you to be envied. But pity, man. And it's the cheapest party, you know, pity party. Nobody has to bring any drinks or no ticket is required. No gate fee, nothing. You know? Let's get off that wagon. It's not taking you anywhere. And, you know, what you think of yourself is what you become. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, as a man thinks, as, you know, for as he thinketh, so is he. You know? Let's quit all of that. Say, I will not think. I can't. Only I can. And think of those positive things. You know, Philippians 4 from verse 6 says what? That we should not be anxious about anything. Okay. I was speaking to somebody today who has been very well, you know. And, okay, they are pregnant. You know, some people see pregnancy as an illness. I mean, it's amazing stuff. You know. It's such a terrible thing. You know, scripture says that that children are a gift from God, isn't it? And the fruit of the womb is what? It's a reward, you know, from God. The gift of God makes rich and has no sorrow. And you become pregnant and say, look, you know, they are fine. And then they were telling me, oh, they went to see, you know, to do some check. They told them they want to do certain checks. And by the time they got there, their blood pressure had gone up. I said, what was it? See, everything else was fine. You know, so what's the matter? And I began to talk. I said, look, I think what happened is that when you knew they were going to do that very test, you began to worry about it. After the test, her blood pressure became good. Now, because of the blood pressure they tested, now they are subjecting her to more tests. You get the point. But the scripture says, in Philippians 4:6, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, through what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let that request be made known to God. Sometimes we'll tell God we'll see carry it because we think maybe he hasn't heard it. You know, And then verse 7 says, and the peace of God will do what? That passes all understanding will guard your own heart. And then verse 8 tells all the kind of things we should begin to think of. Is that thing good? Is it of good report? You know? Is it admirable? You know? Does it really bring about the goodness of God in that very situation? Dwell on those things. You know? So, the next thing is for you to begin to demonstrate self-esteem. Act as if you like yourself. Begin to demonstrate it. You know, you've talked about these things, you've learned it, you've done this one. Begin to believe it for yourself. Before I even go any further, let me read out something to you that happened to somebody. Real life, you know, a lady called Sally, not my niece, Sally had a fantastic talent for being self-rejecting. What a wonderful talent. Sally could take any action of any person and explain why it meant she was disliked and was basically a no good person. When Sally got a raise, that is, increase in her salary, you know what she said? She explained to others that the raise was given to her because the boss felt guilty about his hatred for her. If you have any such person in your company, give me the money, okay? Don't give it to them. So once Sally got complimented, on how well she did on a project, she explained this away by saying the boss was making fun of her for how she usually did things. One day, a co-worker complimented Sally on how nice she looked. Sally spent the entire lunch hour explaining how she was the worst-looking woman in the city. She said that no matter how many people tried, to make her feel better about her ugliness, she felt rotten every time she looked into a mirror. Finally, her co-workers organized a party on her birthday at which they told Sally how much they liked her because she was a terrific person. Yeah, you guessed it right. She first went into shock. Later, she confided to a friend that she had lost all respect for everyone in the office. She said she was thinking about quitting and finding more intelligent people to work with. Because if these people thought she was great, they really had to be stupid people, and she didn't want to associate with them. What do you think will happen to such a person? So act as though you like your own self. You know, you may think that this is really gross, but you know what? It's a slippery slope. Once you start disliking yourself, you can never tell where you will end up. And it will affect your work. You will never be able to, you know, relate to Christ in what you're doing. Act as though you like yourself. Show genuine interest in others. Walk and stand straight. Okay? Except you have iron and steel industry on your back. You know, hold your chin up and look people in the eye. But again, we have to, for this culture that we are in some modern societies, you have to adapt, you know, those things. Maintain good posture. Speak up and speak distinctly. Be a good listener. Show pride in the way you dress and in your personal appearance. Show pride in that. You know, dress like a king. Amen. Even when you walk barefoot, walk like a king. Hallelujah. Walk like a king. You know, and there are some attitudes that we carry that really affect our co-workers. Loyalty. When you work with somebody who is loyal, you miss them when they're not there, won't you? It makes even your own task a lot easier. People who are, dependability is another one. Loyalty, dependability, patience is very important. Willingness to accept criticism. You know, when you are willing to accept criticism, it becomes easier for people to accept it from you. Is that not true?
Yes.
And being enthusiastic about what you do. Be enthusiastic. Enthusiasm is very contagious. There are some people, when they walk into the office, no matter how cold that office is or the weather is, they warm up the place just with their enthusiasm. Honesty and helpfulness. Now we're talking about attitude, isn't it? Let's watch ourselves that whatever we do as unto the Lord. We need to be aware, culturally aware, cultural diversity in different forms, whichever shapes, you know, that it takes. Remembering the fact that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness, you know, thereof. Amen. Now there's something we need to do very quickly. I'll give you this. I hope it goes round too. Has everybody got a copy?
Yeah.
Now, the instruction is very clear, okay? Circle. Now, you see there are some words in bold.
Yeah.
In bold there. Is that correct? Yes? On that 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
Is that right? Circle the word that is your first response to the description. Answer as quickly as possible. Now, what you need to do is you read number one. For example, it says, I know a culture where they have a ritual involving the use of certain garments, only worn in certain seasons. The robing and disrobing of this garment and the timing of this has great cultural significance in the hospitality ritual. Do you find it bizarre, delightful, interesting, disturbing, exotic, normal, disgusting, amusing, or boring? Circle just one. And possibly say, maybe just write on the side of it, which part of the world you think that culture might be. Okay? So shall we do that very quickly? Disgusting, amusing, boring. Okay, well done. Clap for yourselves. Hello? What we've just done now, hello, actually affects the way we relate with people in our places of work. And the good news I have for you is this. Which part of the world do you think this happened? Or this, you find this sort of things? Papua New Guinea. That's fantastic. That's an exotic island, isn't it? The exotic place. Anybody? Hello? South of India? Fiji? Hello? The good news is that it's all happening here in London. Now listen, I will explain to you. Number one, the ritual that involves certain garments, only worn in certain seasons, your winter coat, the robing and disrobing of this garment and the timing of this has great cultural significance. Somebody comes into your own house and you take their coat off to hang, it shows that you welcome them, isn't it? And you have to take it off for you to sit down to eat or to drink. Hello. Number two, they eat food from a paste made with the seeds of a certain type of grass. You know what that food is? Your bread. Yeah, you cook it and you put it in fire, you toast it.
Yeah.
Oh yes, the flame. Yeah, you toast it. And then you smear it with butter, which is from an animal. And then you put egg on it from a bread, isn't it? And traditionally, they eat it at certain times of day. Breakfast. Isn't it? Hello? Number three. Hello? Number three. Almost the entire population is addicted to a plant substance which they drink with water and other. And that's your tea. Your coffee, and you put your milk inside, don't you? And they speak openly about this addiction, apparently without shame, and have evolved certain rituals around this. And what is the ritual that you've evolved around this? The way you hold your cup shows the class you belong. When you hold your teacup with your finger, that's the upper class, isn't it? The upper class. You tell me, that is, I put it away. And number four, women seem to have a hard time Modernization only seems to have brought them more work. You know? And men don't seem to respect them at all. Now, what is it? With all your modernization, more washing machines, more clothes to iron. Isn't it? And all the vacuuming and all the cleaning, the washing and the tumble drying and the ironing and everything goes on and on and on endlessly. Now look at that. You know, you could describe it with any of those flowery, you know, statements that you could think bizarre. So you must be very bizarre, yeah? You too. Hello? You may think it's exotic. And what is this talking about? Preconceptions. You know? Preconceptions that we have. Stereotyping. So you meet somebody from a certain part of the world, you already label them. And the way you think of them would influence the way you relate with them at work. And all these things do what? Influence our conduct at work. Amen. May the Lord help us. Praise the Lord. Okay.
If you have been blessed by this message, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.wordoflife-lcc.org. And remember, God loves you.